910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Following the deadly Air Force crash this week off the coast of Japan, the U.S. military says it is grounding its entire fleet of Osprey aircraft. 8 U.S. airmen were killed. Preliminary investigations suggest a potential material failure caused that mishap. Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh at a briefing today on the decision.
This action is being taken out of abundance of caution while the AFSOC investigation is conducted.
Today marks 2 months since the Hamas attacks and the start of the Jewish festival Hanukkah. More than 130 Israeli hostages and Americans are still being held in Gaza. Israeli forces are targeting Hamas in southern Gaza, and there are reports of a rise in civilian casualties and fatalities. The University of Nevada, Las Vegas campus closed for the rest of this week following yesterday's deadly shooting. Authorities say the gunman, Anthony Polito, was disgruntled after failing to get a job at the school. This is ABC News.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
An Ashland County Sheriff's deputy will not face charges relating to an officer-involved shooting in August. Sergeant Jason Janicek was one of the deputies who responded to a trailer in the town of Morse after a woman reported 44-year-old J. Allen Clarimbo had cut her and his girlfriend with a knife. Janicek reportedly commanded Clarimbo to drop the knife while he was near the woman, and when he ignored the command, Janicek fatally shot him. The girlfriend corroborated Janicek's account of the incident. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has signed a bill to make Wisconsin the 24th state in the country to guarantee a standalone personal finance course for high school students. Students graduating high school in the 27-28 school year will be required to take at least one semester course of personal finance, teaching them about money management, saving and investing, and education and employment. The course is viewed as a crucial step in breaking a cycle of generational poverty through financial education.
And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Lows around 32 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. High of 46. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 28. About an inch of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
but in this case he did. And that's how he got the real final votes he needed for the 13th Amendment. Now, do you think Lincoln was a bad guy? He was a great guy. He was the greatest president. I mean, George Washington, a lot to say for him. We'd have no country without him and Lincoln. But Lincoln, morally and every other respect, our greatest president. He did what he had to do. Joe Biden is the most experienced Senate negotiator, Congress negotiator in our history. He understands people. He understands that Mike Johnson, back in his district, is going to look like a very big man if he brings in a $20 million barracks and a $7 million medical facility. He knows that Gates is as crooked as a dog's hind leg, and Gates shoots his mouth off a lot. We don't want Gates declaring the chair vacant. So Gates gets a $50 million facility in his district. He looks like a big man. Not everybody can do that. Biden can do that. Then you have this John Carter, who I've never heard of. I think there was a movie, wasn't there, named John Carter, about some guy who goes to Mars, and about eight people watched it. It was a dud. But John Carter, he might stand on principle for abortion, he says. Well, his zeal is diminished when he's given a lot of money for his district. That is what is going on. And in return, as a bonus, they dump 3,000 pages on these cretins in the Republican caucus, and they go, yeah, read it. Hey, wait a minute, it's Thursday. When are you supposed to read it? Overnight. Don't go out to dinner. 3,000 pages. That's how it is done. And as a result, I think that the National Defense Authorization Act is going to get passed. My hat's off to Joe Biden and to Chuck Schumer. Okay, coming up, Jamal Bowman censured by the Congress, and White House interns should be fired.
Greenfield, RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Ron of Richland Center, what's on your mind today, Ron? Ron of Richland Center, what's on your mind today?
Yes, hello.
Go ahead, Ron. Matt? I'm not hearing you. Try it again.
Hey, Matt. This is Ron.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering what planet you're coming from. You seen Joe Biden lately?
I'm not interested in people shooting their mouth off. Do you have a coherent question? If you do, pose it to me. I'm not asking for that kind of tone. What's on your mind? You have something with Biden? Go ahead and say it. What is it?
Anybody who lets in 8,000 illegal aliens a day has got to have something wrong with them.
Okay. And how many do you think Trump let in? Why do you think that there were fewer let in when Obama and Biden were president, vice president than Trump? Trump shoots his mouth off and he talks a good game, but he's no good. Thanks for calling, Ron. Now, let's go forward. Jamal Bowman. The House just voted, and he's one of our guys from New York, voted to censure him. Censure is only majority. If you expel him, it's two-thirds. Censure him. He was censured 214 to 191. Not even all the Democrats sided with him. Three Democrats voted with the Republicans to censure him. Five Democrats voted present. What's going on? Jamal Bowman is a guy who, during the debate on whether or not to fund the government, pulled the fire alarm to somehow stop all the talking because he was afraid it wouldn't go through. Okay, that was his purpose. It's illegal, it's a criminal offense to pull a fire alarm frivolously like that. He was on video, he got caught. He said, well, I did it by accident. There's a door there and it wasn't open and it usually is open, so I figured I should reach up and pull this handle. Nobody believes it, I don't believe it either, but 191 Democrats stayed with him. But you know, there are three that said, hey, he has a primary right now. There's the county executive of Westchester County out there. He represents Westchester suburbs as a suburban area and then parts of the Bronx. So I don't know what's going to happen in the primary, but Jamal Bowman, you know, I mean, I don't want a Republican in that district, but this Westchester County executive probably be a stronger congressman for us. But in any event, he was flat out censured. But, you know, it used to be there weren't very many people being censured in the whole history of the country. Now, you know, the Republicans censure Adam Schiff. Democrats censure Paul Gosar. Republicans censure Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. I think that Paul Gosar had to be censured. He was the one who put out a video of him killing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and injuring Joe Biden. I think he should have been criminally prosecuted. If you threaten physical harm to a member of Congress or the president, that's a felony. If you put out a video doing it, that's a felony. They were afraid to go after him because he's a congressman. With Adam Schiff, they did it because he was such a skillful champion of the impeachment of Donald Trump, the impeachment manager the first time. And when it came to Rashida Tlaib, she was reposting and liking from the river to the sea to wipe out Israel, our allies, and fed anti-Semitism in this country. Adam Schiff was a wrong guy to do it to. Gosar and Tlaib were the right people to do it to. Here, I would have voted against censuring Jamal Bowman simply because it's kind of a doofus play. You know, he goes, hey, I still thought it was just, what, some remote lever to open the door? Come on, guy, come on, give me a break. But that is what they did. Now, there are interns in the White House. It's one of the most prestigious things you can get. Say you're a college kid, you're going to intern at the White House. I don't care if you're just carrying coffee to the president. That's a very big deal. Very, very big deal. Well, here's what happened. Here is what happened. About a couple of dozen of them put out a letter and leaked it to NBC in which they attacked Biden's policies in his own White House. And they said that Israel is brutal and genocidal, and they demanded an immediate ceasefire. Brutal and genocidal, and leaked it to NBC. You know, Biden is a compassionate guy. I would fire these clowns. I don't care if you're a college kid. If you're a college kid, you're at least 18, probably 19, 20, 21. You're working for a president, and you're not working for him because you hate him or because you're a different party or anything. I mean, these are very prestigious things to get. And here's what their thing said. It started out, quote, these are 18 to 22-year-olds. We will no longer remain silent. We are Palestinian, Jewish, Arab, Muslim, Christian, Black, Asian, Latin, L-A-T-I-N-E, white, and queer. We aspire to be the leaders of tomorrow. I got news for you. You're not going to be the leaders of tomorrow. You should be out of the White House right now. You can't keep people. I mean, look, if somebody has a real foreign policy belief, something's bothering them, go to their boss there. Every one of them is working for somebody. Ask to go in. It's an honor to speak to the president. Say, this is what I think. But you don't finger the guy in an election year, especially, that gave you this position. Tell you what, I would fire them immediately. I would absolutely fire them immediately. And if I were a grad school, I wouldn't admit them. And if I were a law firm or a company, I wouldn't have them work for me. They're going to prowl around and go, well, I don't like what the president of the company is doing. So what? They hold a press conference? They send out a letter, leak it to a TV station, and they go, this president is wrong, corrupt what they're doing. And come on. My entire life, when between the ages of 18 and 22, when I was in college, you have enough common sense. The good thing about that age is you have tremendous idealism and tremendous energy and enthusiasm. And that can't be bottled. It's wonderful. We need it in the country. And people can differ on tactics in the Middle East. There's no question about it. But when you owe your job to Joe Biden and he's up for re-election, and you say, you put out a letter that you leaked to NBC and you go, what you're doing is wrong. We want an immediate ceasefire. Israel is brutal and genocidal. And try to embarrass him like that nationally. The good thing is, I suppose, he's a very kind guy and he understands that people make mistakes. But, you know, and then there were 400 people in other agencies who were not kids in 40 departments who then we will no longer remain silent and said the same thing. I'd fire them too. If you work for me in my company and you have a beef, come to me with the beef. But do not try to cut my legs out in public like that. Do not do that. Coming up, a lot of weather and news, and maybe an accommodation on the engineering bill in Madison for UW-Madison.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is getting $2.5 million to study new Amtrak service in Madison, Green Bay, and Eau Claire that would connect with Milwaukee, Chicago, and the Twin Cities. Wisconsin is also getting federal grants to support studying expanding service between Milwaukee and Chicago on the existing Hiawatha line, as well as adding a third daily round trip between Chicago, Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities. A Republican prosecutor says he plans to appeal this week's court ruling allowing consensual abortions in Wisconsin. Dane County Judge Diane Schlipper ruled this week that Wisconsin's 1849 law outlaws someone from attacking a woman in an attempt to kill a fetus. Sheboygan County DA Joel Ermansky maintains state law clearly outlaws abortions. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Packers getting ready for Monday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers return to practice after an extra day of rest. They're going to face the Giants on Monday Night Football. We hope to hear more on how wide receiver Christian Watson is doing after leaving the Chiefs game Sunday night with a hamstring injury. The Bucks are in Vegas for the semifinals of the NBA's in-season tournament. Milwaukee against the high-scoring Pacers. College hoops. The Badgers on the road Saturday to take on the new number one, Arizona. Wisconsin coming off wins against Marquette and Michigan State. Are their bench players improving? Great guard.
I think that's something this team is developing as we go through the early part of this season. The depth has something to do with that, that I can run lines in, and they're able to keep our, you know, our upperclassmen a little fresher. Younger guys, whether it's been, you know, Gilmore and Winter come in as the first line there, but we're able to continue to attack because we're fresh.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome back to Methvin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's an astonishing development if it in fact develops. LeMahieu, Senator LeMahieu from the Sheboygan area, he's the majority leader of the Senate. Voss, of course, is the Speaker of the Assembly, and the two of them are the legislative leaders in the Republican gerrymandered legislature. LeMahieu has lately been doing or saying some moderate things. For instance, he just came out and endorsed Nikki Haley, president. Now, I don't want Nikki Haley, but the point is he stands up to Trump. And he just said, and then I want to parse this, that he and Robin Voss are in talks with the UW to release the $32 million that they withheld because of the DEI fight, and also about now authorizing the new engineering building in Madison. And before this, LeMahieu also said that he supported the granting a pay raise to the UW employees. To the UW employees, which are about half, 30-some-odd thousand employees, of the state employees. That is an absolutely astounding and welcome development. The media called UW and asked about it, and they had no comment other than to say, well, we're not going to comment on it. It's, you know, may not be imminent, but we have no comment on it. I think what's happening is this. LeMahieu has already said that it is absurd to deny more than 30,000, maybe 35,000 employees of the state university system a raise when the other half of the employees who don't work for the university system got it. As he said, you know, a guy that mows the grass has nothing to do with DEI. Cook in a dining hall has nothing to do with DEI. Give me a break. A janitor has nothing to do with DEI. So, number one, he endorsed Nikki Haley. Again, I don't want Nikki Haley, but he stood up to Trump. And number three, I think he realizes that if you release raises for the half of the state employees who are UW system employees, about 35,000, it's very just nuts and goofy to then just hold on to $32 million because you're mad at DEI. The thing that's of greatest interest to me is a statement that they were talking about then releasing the money for the new engineering building in Madison. He may have heard from the Manufacturers Association, but also I think that raising the issue on shows like this one has an impact when people realize that private donors are paying a big chunk of it anyway. We're leaving money on the table. The UW engineering program is one of the best in the country. We need engineers, especially engineers who stay in this state. And it is absolutely bonkers. It's malicious. It's vandalism. Given the fact, the amount of money that we have in the kitty, several billion dollars, not to take advantage of that private money and build the building now. I think that if Voss and LeMahieu give the order that the committees involved that are screwing this thing up will come around. And I'll tell you what, that will be a very, very welcome thing. And I have a suggestion. You know, the UW spokesman apparently said, you know, they're not going to comment on it overall, but, you know, it may not be imminent, blah, blah, blah. What I would do if I were at these negotiations on DEI, because a dirty little secret is that some DEI people in other campuses, like the Ivy League, Stanford, some of the California universities, have been complicit in anti-Semitism. And I would say that. And I would say, all right, DEI, if what it's doing is to make it possible and easier for people who maybe are first generation college kids, you know, nobody in their family went, for instance, or that culturally, I remember when I was in the law school in Madison, there was a Native American kid in our class, a really good guy, and we were friends, and he would tell me that being the only Native American guy in the class, given his history and what he'd been through, that it was hard. And I agree with that. And I think that you can't trust that everybody there is going to have friends who will try to ease the way for them. So DEI programs can. If that's what it is, and I'm talking about kids from Native American tribes from the inner city, Latino district, and rural kids. Rural kids in Wisconsin who are first generation in college, and it all seems overwhelming. And there are kids from out of state, and there are kids who've had different advantages. This is very good. But if you have career anti-Semitic hacks in there, like they do in the Ivy League and in Stanford and some California campuses, then I think it's very appropriate for the legislature to say to the chancellors and to the president of the system, audit the DEI. We're not going to do it for you. Audit it and give us a report on whether you think any of your DEI units are in fact contributing to anti-Semitism under the guise of free speech, like the three clowns who are the presidents of Harvard, MIT, and Penn, who disgraced themselves yesterday in front of the Congress. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
Well, I know that you have mentioned in the past, and you've sort of hinted at it this time around, first generation people from that are immigrants shouldn't be allowed into office, and you want to be real careful about putting them into positions of trust with something like a DEI program. That was the implication I got.
No. Hold on. No, hold on. What I said is, with Eileen Mercedes Cannon, I would not put anyone born in another country in a lifetime appointment. I didn't say anything about office or anything else. The problem with a lifetime appointment, if you put them in a federal judgeship and all the inner weasels come back and the toxic groundwater comes back, you can't get rid of them because it's unrealistic, quite frankly, totally unrealistic to say you're going to impeach them. I'm only talking about lifetime appointments. That's what I've said in the past, and I mean it. Go ahead, Jack.
My apologies, then. I'm glad you clarified that, because I did not get that from your earlier statements. I didn't understand that properly. In any case, I'm going to say consider this, though, and that is that if they have immigrated to this country from a place that was a dictatorship, an authoritarian government, a communist oligarchy government, someplace that, like that, they may well be stronger advocates for our democracy than even just a regular American citizen that's been brought up in this democracy, because they've seen very clearly what can happen. Now, I agree with you. You got to be very careful, especially on those lifetime appointments. So that, there's no question on that. But I don't know if I would blanket say, don't trust them. You have to, I think, take a serious look at the individual.
Yeah, that's a good point. But let me give you two examples. I think we're on the same page. The problem with a lifetime federal appointment is if you make a mistake, you can't rectify it. That's all I'm saying. But secondly, take a look at Colonel Vindman, Ukrainian guy, and his brother, two colonels in the U.S. Army. They were the best. And they stood up to Trump, and they exactly showed a lot of guts in standing up for our democracy. And the fact that I wouldn't put either one of them on the Supreme Court does not impugn their character. They served honorably in the military, and we completely welcome them into this country. But when you're talking about a federal judgeship where you can't remove them, if you make a mistake, it really hurts. I mean, that's what I am saying. Thanks an awful lot for calling. Rhonda Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Ron?
Hey, Matt, I want to make a, I don't know about the cases at Harvard. I'm going to say that right off the top. But, you know, I've been just answering people on Facebook. I've been called anti-Semitic because I disagreed with, not with the Jewish people or the right to exist or anything like that, but with the decisions made by the government of Israel.
Yeah, and I think that's valid. I haven't read the Facebook posts. I haven't read what you posted, Ron. So you do have a right to speak. And I think that there's no government on this planet that I agree with 100% of the time, including our own government. Certainly not when Trump was in there. I get it. I get it 100%. But what's going on, Ron, and consider this, and you know, you're not anti-Semitic for simply disagreeing with a tactic, but you must understand that on October 7, Hamas, and Hamas is not the Palestinian people. They count, they style themselves as Islamic Jihad, which is a title that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, the Janjaweed, they all use. They came to torture, to not just rape, but sexually mutilate while they were still alive and slice them up and kill them, Israeli women. These people cannot be permitted to stay where they are. They can no longer be permitted to exist. Now, what do we do about that? The United States stands with Israel. We have other allies in the region. Jordan is a tremendous ally. Under the right leadership, Egypt has been an ally. Under this present leadership, it's been an ally. Chainsaw Charlie in Saudi Arabia. I've been highly critical of him, but he has let Israeli airplanes use Saudi space, and he has at least opened discussions about joining the Abraham Accords. But what has produced all this is strength, military and economic strength, and our values. And we are bringing, we hope, that region into our values. We don't want to be brought into their present values, which has been constant murder, strife, and the sadism of Hamas. So the president of Harvard, the president, Claudine Gay, the president of Penn, McGill, and the president of MIT, Kornbluth, have to resign. They were pathetic. They are at nothing but identity politics hires with no discernible intellectual credentials, and they sat there like robots. And people would ask them, well, if there were people that were marching in your campus intimidating Jewish students and saying we should kill them, not from the river to the sea, but actually we should kill them, would that violate your harassment policy? And they go, that depends on context. If it was severe and pervasive, they were like little robots. Claudine Gay grew up in Saudi Arabia herself. When she spoke, I heard Saudi Arabia speaking, not America. If anybody's out there who's a graduate of Harvard, MIT, and now Columbia, as well as Penn, Columbia just had a student rally in their social welfare building that the administration said they wouldn't hold, in which they praised Hamas for what they did on October 7, including the sexual torture. They said it was necessary. Those people should be expelled. Teachers that were there should be fired. If they're here on visas, they should be revoked and shipped back to where they came from. We have permitted on our university campuses a system like they had in Germany in the 30s, where increasingly there was bullying and eventually murder, driving Jewish kids and professors out of the environment under the guise of free speech. That isn't free speech. It'd be as if the Oath Keepers came in and did that to black students. What do you think would happen? This has got to change. And the hacks that are running some of these universities have to change. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. Coming up, there is a access to classified documents issue that may get rid of Eileen Mercedes Cannon. I will get to the lines immediately. Do not hang up.
Out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line because.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going right to the lines. Mike of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Mike?
Hey, Matt. Big fan of you, big fan of your show. Just a
Thank
quick
you.
Question. Some debate that's been going on. I'll preface that I don't think this rationalizes anything that Hamas, or however you want to, not that it has done, but some of the talk with people that I speak with is that they keep bringing up the Jewish settlements encroaching on Palestinian land. Is that still a thing? Is that still going on? Is that part of the reasoning, I guess, behind what Hamas thinks that they had the right to do? And I'll just hang up and let you go from there. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. The question of the settlers in the West Bank is very valid. And you're not going to believe this, but there were settlers in Gaza, too, at one time. And then finally, Israel withdrew from Gaza back around, I don't know, 18 years ago. I think it was 2006, and the settlers got out. But in the West Bank, they've increased, and some of them have acted in very unlawful fashions. They've been violent. Right now, the West Bank is about 20% settlers. And one of the things, there's absolutely no justification for people to come over and rape and disembowel teenage girls and sexually mutilate them. Also, Hamas came over and they had a translation materials. And one of the lines was to how they could say in Hebrew, take your pants off. These are animals. It has nothing to do with settlers in the West Bank. Now, that said, the only way that this thing is going to be resolved is ultimately a two-state solution. And Gaza and the West Bank are separated and Israel's in between. There was a convocation at Yale University a couple of weeks ago where there were prominent Muslims and Jewish people from the United States, representative of Muslim governments and Israel, talking about a $50 billion with a B Marshall Plan that would be largely private investment, and they had some takers and some public investment, and rebuild the infrastructure of the West Bank and Gaza, and run a superhighway between the two of them right through Israel. You can only do that if you have security, if you think that, like, our border with Canada is one of the least guarded in the world, but we're very confident that Canada is not going to come in and try to kill us, and vice versa. So how does that come to be? There are now 2 million Palestinians in Gaza. There are millions in the West Bank. Joe Biden has stood up to the settlers and said he's not going to give visas to have them come to the United States if they're settlers who have done these terrible acts. And I think he's right to do that. But the only way you can get a two-state solution is if the Palestinian state is prosperous, has employment. This $50 billion Marshall Plan would lower unemployment in the West Bank from 30% to single digits. And it would lower the poverty level from about the same to the same. Ultimately, you know, there are Israeli tourists who go on vacation in the United Arab Emirates and Egypt, and there are people from those countries that come to Israel. The whole purpose of October 7 was engineered by Iran to throw a monkey wrench in the Abraham Accords and in the talks with Saudi Arabia, because if Saudi Arabia recognize Israel, that's the ball game. The two holiest sites in Islam are in Saudi Arabia. Yes, the settlers are an issue, but it's a much larger issue. And I appreciate your call. Always feel free to call. Jacob Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Jake?
Yeah, I think, you know, I have a lot of things to say, but not much time. But I think another way to peace, or something that's lasting, is that the Israelis get rid of a hard right-wing, kind of pseudo-fascist of totalitarian government with Netanyahu. I mean, it's really the only way, because if you understand it, the last 20 years, it's only been really the hardliners and nothing has been done. In fact, they've given money to Hamas over the last decades. I mean, well, they got money from Hamas. So I'm not justifying anything. I'm just saying that a hard right-wing government is not going to help anything.
No, I agree with you. Right, but Jake, hold on for a second. I agree with you, but remember, three prime ministers offered the two-state solution. Rabin was a liberal labor guy. Shimon Peres, liberal labor guy. Ehud Baruch was a fairly liberal guy three times. So, yeah, Netanyahu... Right. I don't like a lot of the things he's doing either. But Israel has been a Labor Party liberal country for a long, long time, decades, and they were turned down every time. So what happens is the right wing gets in. The way the right wing is going to be thrown out is if a new Labor prime minister comes in and is treated with respect and taken seriously by negotiators for the other side. With Ehud Baruch, Israel offered 98% of everything that the Palestinians wanted. And they still said no, because Yasser Arafat was afraid he'd be assassinated by people like Hamas. Thanks for calling. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're the last caller. What's your mind at Wisco Paul?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Nice show, as always, Matt. Hey, at the end of the day here, is these clowns in Congress going to send money to Israel and Ukraine? I really worry about Ukraine because I feel if they don't prop them up, we'll end up for ourselves. So that's my quick question for the day. Are these guys good? I hope they send them the money. Thanks.
Yeah, I think they will. There's some moderate Republicans who are trying to massage this thing around. It's going to require asylum changes, and Biden has said he'd do it. It's going to happen, but they always wait to the last minute. It becomes more expensive, and if we don't do it, we're going to have American GIs in Poland fighting Russians, and that is absolutely unacceptable. We can't have that. Well, I'll tell you what. This has been a great show, some contentious subjects. I appreciate all my callers. I appreciate the passion of all my callers. You are, in effect, my interviewees and my co-hosts. I always appreciate your calling. Stand by for another great show, Weather News and Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crute. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.